are going to talk about overcoming loss this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour lost their family farm in the mid-80s. The farm had been in the same family for 80 years. And on the day it was auctioned off, their despair was captured in a photograph that was shared around the world. We will talk with Sue and Ken Massey this hour about how they recovered from that loss and the new life that that they found. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for them. We'll hear how they recovered, and we welcome any experiences that you might have along these same lines. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Sue describes their journey in her new book, Letter from the Heart. Sue and Ken Massey, a Wisconsin couple who lost their family farm during the 1980s farm crisis, join us in the studio. Sue, good morning.
Good morning.
And Kenny, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Well, thanks both of you for being here. This photograph, this was in, was it March of 1986?
March 4th, 1986. This year it'll be 29 years.
Yeah, you know what? I remember that. I mean, and probably a lot of people remember that because it was a photograph that of you on the courthouse steps at the time your farm was being auctioned. Tell us about that day, Sue.
That day will probably live within us for the rest of our life. It was that very moment at which one dream ends and a new life begins. And so the night before, we had huddled with the kids, and we said we didn't know what the next day would be like, because obviously we'd never been through it before. But our hope and dream was to take the good things, the good memories from the farm, and roll those up into our new life, which has just been incredible.
Yeah, and Kenny, tell us about what happened in this was the decade that many called a farm crisis was going on. What happened?
You're very right. We had the drought. We had very high corn prices, soybean prices. The egg market was very low, and we just could not continue. We just were forced out.
And that was, I mean, it was devastating to you because this was a farm that had been handed down in your family for generations.
That's exactly right. I just felt a complete failure. I'd let my grandfather down, who had he'd previously passed away, and my family, friends. I was a very broken man, very devastated.
I can imagine, but not that it would give you a lot of consolation, but you weren't alone. A lot of farms were going under at that time.
That's correct. We were. There was a lot of farms.
Yeah, and didn't, Sue, didn't you write a letter that was read at a farm aid concert?
Yeah, there's so much about our story that's faith-driven. I entered a contest, and I happened to be the national winner for the Alabama song, How Many Hours a Week Does a Wheat Farmer Work? And I thought about Kenny, and I thought, gosh, he's working all the time if he isn't sleeping. So I figured it backwards and subtracted the hours that he slept. And I came up with 96 hours and 15 minutes a week. And I got a call a couple weeks later saying I was the national winner. It was 96-16. And so that flew us to Kansas, where we met Alabama. And Randy Owen from Alabama took an interest in us because he's a farm boy, and he asked us to stay in contact. He wanted to know because he said, you know, farm aid's just around the corner. And he goes, who knows what might happen? Well, we came home from that trip, and I sat down in the quiet of our kitchen to write a thank you letter, and something happened. A letter poured out that I had no idea was even there.
And can you share the letter? And this was then read at the Farm Aid concert.
Yes, and So I thought I was writing a thank you to Randy Owen, but instead what came out was this letter from my heart, and they called me up and asked to use it on their segment of Farm Aid on the national TV, and then also they asked us to send pictures of our kids who were young at that time to kind of give the nation a feeling of, you know, what losing the farm, the land, really meant to people. And we did that. And from that point that aired on national TV, our lives have never been the same. So this was the letter. It's very simple. Dear Alabama, after returning home from your concert of the Kansas State Fair and hearing about your involvement in Farm Aid, I felt compelled to write. My husband Kenny is a third-generation farmer, and we are facing an approaching auction to sell off our farm, unless we can pay our overdue bills. Words can't relate how destructive this can be. One's self-esteem drops to rock bottom, and feelings of failure. The stress can be hard on a marriage and devastating to the kids. Our family's story is probably similar to many other farm families. In 1968, the farm was debt-free. Kenny's father switched from dairy to egg farming. Prices had their ups and downs, but soon the bills were paid and things looked fine. Then suddenly prices dropped drastically and stayed down for too long. Kenny's folks struggled with increasing feed bills and expenses, hoping for the market to return. But after 18 months, the feed bills had grown so high, there was no more hope. So we reluctantly stopped production. Now all that's left are the bills. We're faced with a forced sale of our farm. Those are the awful facts. But then there are the feelings. It's the love for one's land. And if you asked Kenny what he'd like to do for the rest of his life, I'm sure he'd say to be able to farm. Farmers aren't looking to get rich. It's the simple things they love and understand. Raising crops and watching the kids grow. Being close and being together with the family, sharing the fruits of our labor. Memories and experiences that will last a lifetime. Kenny has been forced to work for the state to support our family of seven. He drives 2.5 hours to and from work. This increases his appreciation and love for our farm. This is a plea for help from our young family in its struggle to hang on. Please forgive us for asking, but we are at the point of desperation. The forced sale is approaching within 8 weeks, and time is of the essence. Please take a moment and view the photos that I have enclosed, and you can envision our love for the land and what farming means to us. Sue Massey, Hollandale, Wisconsin.
Oh, my goodness. Of all things, Jane on Twitter says, I was at the Farm Aid concert when Sue's letter was read. So,
oh, my goodness.
So you were desperate, and you were asking for help. And unfortunately, not enough help came in to save the farm.
And when that aired, at the time there weren't cell phones. The phone never stopped ringing for days, and you know, cards and letters poured in. And I guess when I poured out my heart and I was feeling desperate and thought, oh my God, you know, we really could lose everything here, and it was a plea for help, but I never expected to ever, like, save the farm. So when this started to happen, we were just overwhelmed. We, you know, it was like asking for something, but not really thinking you were going to get it. You know, yeah. It was just a shock.
So that's one of your letters from your heart.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that changed our lives forever.
Well, how did it change your lives forever?
Being, you know, Greg Fowler is the PR person for Randy Owen, and when they called to ask our permission to use the pictures and the letter on their segment of Farm Aid, you know, he said, "Sue, I think this is just going to be wonderful, and it's going to be able to really help draw in donations for Farm Aid, and most importantly is an awareness." And he said, "But I can't emphasize enough the power behind national TV." And he wasn't kidding. Yeah. I mean, that was just that part of it, becoming like the poster child for the family farms that have gone under. And I think that that's why I'm so excited about the book, because in writing the book, so many wonderful miracles and things have happened that even though that picture is on the front, the love and the recovery and the peace within and the happiness that I've discovered from being able to pour out my heart and get these feelings and unresolved issues out of myself has been the most incredible gift, I think, in my entire life.
Kenny, why don't you tell us, what are you doing now?
Helping our daughters run the landscape maintenance, snow removal business. They've taken over, Marin and Naomi, and I'm helping them try to succeed.
Yeah. So you went from the family farm to what?
I was working at the university farms, and then the benefits were just wonderful with the university, but it still, the income was not quite enough. And I just, the entrepreneurism in me just, I needed to do something else too. And so we started to do some lawn maintenance, and then that got to be so much, went into full time. And then Sue was working at a company, and then she left her company, went working with me full time.
So indeed, you have a successful landscaping company.
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. And working in the landscape company, you're working in dirt, and it's about as close to farming as you could possibly get.
Yeah.
And through the landscape and lawn maintenance, we have just had so many angels blessing people help us and encourage us and seen us through this.
So Sue, during this, I guess the almost 30 years from the auction, it's been primarily the landscaping business that you were doing?
Well, I had this huge opportunity of working at TDS Computing Services at the time, and I was promoted as communications editor. And from that position, I learned so much about the inner workings of a corporate office. And then when the business got, our business was so, it just kept mushrooming and growing more than Kenny could handle. And so after about 8 years at TDS, I was able to roll all of those experiences over into our own business. And we did the marketing with a newsletter to new clients in new areas that were growing and mushrooming around Madison. And so TDS was just phenomenal, the experiences I had there. And, you know, working with other people in the communication industry was extremely important. And then I rolled over and helped Kenny, and we kind of developed this segment, Pots and Patios. And so it's really been all about design and some skilled install, and all of our projects are, at the root of them is relationships at the heart.
Well, is Pots and Patios related to the beautiful heart that I have in my hand right now?
Well, Kenny's I kind of dubbed his little name Hearts Aglow, because he squirrels away into our garage, and he's quite a welder and cutter, and he has found himself in creating recycled metal art sculptures of all sizes. They're all over our backyard, and they're just, I think it's his escape.
Yeah, well, so now you're not only a former farmer and landscaper, Kenny, but you're an artist.
Yes, thank you. I really enjoy doing it, and it's brought out the creative from inside me, and it's filled a need that I just love it. I just really enjoy it. It's a creative person has to do something with that energy, or maybe go down to the bar or whatever, but I just love creating.
Wonderful. We have to take a short break, and we will continue talking with Sue and Kenny Massey. They are a Wisconsin couple who lost their family farm during the 1980s farm crisis. They were made famous back then in a viral photo that was taken on the courthouse steps on the day that their farm was auctioned off. We're going to post that photo on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You might recognize it. They are with us now talking about how they recovered from that loss and talking more about Sue's book, Letter from the Heart, which is a book that describes their journey to where they are now. We welcome your questions. We welcome maybe some similar experiences you might have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. So did you struggle during the farm crisis like the Masseys did? Have you ever lost something that meant a great deal to you, where that loss was catastrophic? How did you recover? We're talking about overcoming loss, reinventing ourselves, recovering from a family tragedy such as Sue and Ken Massey. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So let's talk a little bit about your road to recovery. As I mentioned, there was this photo, maybe the first photo to go viral in 1986 when you auctioned off the farm. This was something, I mean, newspapers all over the world were carrying this photo. And to describe it, which is, it's also on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, you are, I mean, you're crying. I mean, obviously, it was a horrible thing to have to go through. But what happened then after that day? How did you start your road to recovery?
Well, you know, I think all of us experience different losses in our lifetime. With a farm, it's your past, present, and future. So it really is something that's pulled out from under you. And here you are. It's not just Kenny and I, but it's five young children. And so we just had to, luckily we were young and we thought, well, we can just push up our shirt sleeves and work hard and we can recover. And we did that, though. It's been very difficult. I mean, growing a small business and raising five children at the same time has taken all of our time and energy as possible. We have one child with attention deficit disorder, and that takes additional time and energy. And so we had all those things going on at the same time, and then still trying to work to recover everything that you've lost. So it's been a long uphill journey. And in 2008, I'd say we were just kind of coming into our own, starting to enjoy the fruits of our labor, and took one family vacation, and then the recession hit. And it's just like it pulled the rug right out from under.
So it happened to you not only once, but twice.
It's feeling like that. And I think that's kind of, I'd written the manuscript of the book twice before this, but it wasn't until now that at this point, this platform in my life, that it all came together. And it was like, gosh, you know, we're struggling again as a small business now. This feels like when we lost the farm, and I just was compelled to write the book and put this into voice, because it's not just us, it's a lot of people struggling with a lot of the same issues that we were going through.
Yeah. How do you hope the book helps others?
It's been phenomenal to go to the book signings and book events and book clubs, and I'll go and speak and appear any place, because in sharing my story openly and honestly, I'm just amazed at the people that come up to me and share their adversities and their challenges in their life. And I think it all comes back to finding voice and being able to share, to talk about these things. There's then an awareness, and then healing can begin. And that's what happened to me in writing the book.
And we've stayed together through the entire thing.
That's amazing.
It would have been many times. It would have been easier to walk away. But we stayed together, as Sue and I, as a family. We have stayed together. And we've worked at it hand in hand, whatever you want to say. And now my mother has run out of cash, and so my daughter has taken into her home, and my mom has dementia. And we've rallied around each other and supported each other, and it's just been phenomenal. I love every one of them. I'm very proud of all of them.
You write that the family love Sue kept you together in a way, or it helped you get through this.
Pardon?
The family love.
Exactly.
You know, that's the one, on the way drive here this morning, we were talking about the differences from when we were really young and we lost the farm, and then when we started to go through the effects of the recession as a small business, because farms are like small businesses. And we were talking on the way down here how much different we are as people and how we have grown. Instead of like picking each other apart, because finances are the number one issue in a lot of relationships. Instead of pulling each other apart, we're being very gentle with each other. And, you know, we are just filling our lives with love and encouragement and support. And that's what's bringing us through this.
I talked about suicide on the sheriff's steps that day of the sale. And I'll never forget, we received a letter from a lady up here in Wisconsin, and her husband had committed suicide, family farm, and she was having to go through the grief, and it just also left that family in just a terrible mess that she had to pick up and take care of everything that you couldn't do it.
I remember the stories around that time that there were, an increase in farmers who were committing suicide because of the financial strain and the devastation that you were going through. So you had considered this, but when you saw a friend or someone who was struggling with the aftermath, you decided not to.
Well, that's correct. And then you had to stay strong for your family. Just, you had to really dig within, and it just really, it was a tough time. Yeah. Tough time.
We've both been at the bottom of the pit and where there's hardly a glimmer of light. Both of us have been in that position, and thank goodness sometimes he's there and then I'm not, or I'm there and then, so we've had to support each other to make it through these dark times in our marriage, and we are just amazed that being married at 18 and 23 that we just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, what a nice, I guess, Valentine's story, too.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day story coming up. It's been, you know, nearly three decades, 29 years. Kenny, what... obviously, it's still very emotional for you looking back at that time because you're, isn't it? I mean,
I'm still a farmer. I don't care. I'm still a farmer at heart, and I would do anything to be on a farm again. But I know that's not possible. So then I've had to reinvent myself into landscaping and my creative part into recycled metal, and that has filled that need as well as that could be.
Joy, he is at 63. We, the girls and I, call him. He's like the last soldier standing. He's out there on the cruise in the field, and he's working, oh my gosh, 60-70 hours a week. When everybody else is exhausted and calling it quits, he's the only one still going out there. He's a saint.
So, Kenny, you want to come over to my house and look at my land? I wish. We have some callers who have either similar stories to share or questions for you. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or an experience that you'd like to share with Sue and Ken Massey. They are. They lost their family farm back in 1986 during the farming crisis, and they're sharing with us their story on their journey on how they overcame that loss, and what they're doing now. Tim in Darlington is with us. Hello, Tim.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. My experience is similar. I'm 55. I'm actually from Iowa, but I'm traveling on business today through Wisconsin, and I picked up the show. I was 26 years old when we went through the farm crisis in 1985. And like your guests there, I believe some of us in this generation were young enough to reinvent ourselves a little bit. 3 years after the farm crisis in 1988, my wife and I took three children and went back to college, which was very difficult financially, but it was probably the best thing we ever did after that. And I remember, I'll just share a brief story. My degree is in education, although I never did teach, but I was qualified to be a business or a science teacher. And in the business classes, we had a section about bankruptcy, of course, which I had some pretty intimate knowledge about going through it. And the professor invited a banker to come in and give his side of the story. And about two-thirds of the way through the class, I had had enough of his opinion. And I'm a big guy. I'm about 6'4 and 240. And I slammed my book shut, walked to the front of the room, exited the room right, never looked at the banker who was telling his opinion. The next day, the professor, who was also an attorney, set the record straight for the rest of the class, and then after the class, he said, "Tim, what set you off?" And I said, when he said they went to the bank every morning and went to the boardroom, and they called it the war room, and he laughed, and he talked about who was going to which bankruptcy hearing. And I said, and he said, "Did you see him when you got up?" I said, "I never looked at somebody. He said, "Do you know what happened to him in that summer?" And I said, "No." He said, "That banker foreclosed on a farmer in his office, and that farmer went over his desk and beat him unconscious." And that afternoon, I was on the baseball team, and that was part of my therapy. I played 4 years of college baseball at age 30. And some of my teammates were in the class, and they had no idea what had gone on. And then I started to get the sympathy. And that was kind of the beginning of the healing process for us. Going back to college, realizing that we were normal, It was an extreme situation beyond most of our control, and I'm doing good now. I'm doing well. We kept the farm. I have a really good career and a good life, and we learned a lot. That's my story.
Well, thank you very much, Tim. I thank you for sharing it. And looked like, Kenny, you were understanding what Tim was saying.
Exactly. He found his outlet in baseball and in college, and he reinvented himself, and he continued, and he stayed together. And that's what you have to do. You have to dig within yourself or your friends or get support. There is support out there for you. It's just, you just got to dig in.
And like right now, a little bit of a flip side of that is our banker is part of our team as a small business. And he has been critical in helping us, you know, get through this difficult time again after the recession. And without having Josh from the bank on our side, it'd be very difficult.
The banker back in 1986 that you had was different than the banker you have now, or in terms of the way business was being done?
That's correct, yes. And we had an unsecured feed person who, and then the bank, they pushed for it. And they did what they had to do. I'm not upset about that. They did what they had to do. So,
at one of my book signings, there was a woman that came up and purchased a book, and she had mentioned to me, she said, "Oh, I can so relate to this story." She said, "Of all things, I used to work in an office where I had to call people about calling their loans in and that they were forced with bankruptcy." And she said, "It was the worst job of my entire life."
Well, speaking of which, Bill in Lancaster is with us. Hello, Bill.
Hi. My wife and I just bought our farm in 2010. We're 34 years old and just getting started. But so I was a little young to remember directly what happened back in the 80s. But my understanding is, and I personally know half a dozen guys, was that the farmer would go to the banker for his operating loan, and the banker would say, "Sure, I'll give you the operating loan, but you're going to have to put on 40 more cows, or you're going to have to take on another 1,000 acres, or you're going to have to put up a harvester. And here, I'll borrow you this much more money to do that." And it wasn't necessarily that the farmers were bad at what they did. It wasn't necessarily that the commodity prices were low. It had mostly to do with the fact that the banker was getting 10, 12, 16% interest on some of these operating loans. And that's what sunk a lot of guys.
Well, in fact, hold on, Bill. Kenny, the high interest rates you mentioned were a big part of this.
Sue and I went to the bank and paid 18.5% interest to borrow for some heifers we were going to raise and breed and resell. And I still cannot believe that I thought I was going to make money at 18.5% interest. It just, and of course, it didn't work out.
Yeah. Bill, are you still there?
I am.
I'm just, so how is it being, I guess, a young farmer in the 2000s? Is everything going well for you?
Well, I'd say the interest is a lot more friendly to a guy. Even our operating loan is below 6%, so we can finance the debt. But, I mean, if I wanted to, I could go like some guys do and farm 10,000 acres and have a $500,000 combine and drive around in a $50,000 pickup. And right now there's a lot of guys looking at 450 corn going, maybe I shouldn't have bought that $50,000 pickup.
Well, good luck to you. Thank you for sharing. We are talking about recovering from the farm crisis, in a way. Our guests, Sue and Kenny Massey, lost their family farm during the 1980s farm crisis. And we're talking about where they went after that and how they recovered from that. And we are welcoming your questions, your stories, your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Sue has authored a book describing their journey. It is Letter from the Heart. Her website is letterfromtheheart.com. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It was 1986, and Sue and Ken Massey lost the farm that had been in Ken's family for 80 years. Their story became famous in part because of a photo taken of them grieving the loss of their farm. It was the day of the auction, and that photo went viral in a way before viral was a word. 30 years later, Sue has written a memoir about the family's experience and how they recovered and how they have moved on in the decades since. And we are talking with Sue and Ken Massey about their story and talking about Sue's book, Letter from the Heart. We welcome any experiences or questions you might have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Did you overcome a similar catastrophic loss? How did you recover? Let us know your story. Before we go back to the phone, Sue, I wanted to say that we wanted to talk a little bit about something else that you lost the farm in 86. You also, even after you had this small business, this landscaping business, felt a similar blow during the Great Recession just some years ago. Not only did you overcome that, you learned something in the writing of the book. What did you learn?
Yes. Well, we haven't quite overcome the recession part of it yet. We're still working on that one. But I worked. This is the third time I've written the book. And the second time I had the opportunity of working, I'm sorry, the first time I had the opportunity of working with Ben Logan. And he named the book, Sometimes You Walk Away. And it was never picked up. And so, you know, it sat on the shelf, and then I revisited it 10 years later. And then now I just felt this urge to, again, revisit the book because there was so much written about us, and it just felt like, but there was so much more that we had inside that we wanted to express and share. Not only, if nothing else, just to leave behind for our children. This is really what happened, and this is what was going through our minds when we made the decisions that we did. And toward the very end of writing the book, and I have a fabulous editor, I sat up one morning and I wrote about a secret that I couldn't even speak of for 40 years. And I wrote about it, and I sat there wondering, boy, if I click send, my editor's going to know about this, and oh my God, do I want this in the book? And that was the beginning of a recovery, because for 40 years I was so ashamed of an eating disorder that I had that I couldn't speak of it, and it tore down my confidence. It made me feel like the worst person in the world, like how weak was I to have this, and why couldn't I shake it? And when I wrote about it, it released that power of the secret that it held over me, and I felt this immense freedom, and it's just disappeared. And mm-hmm. I don't even think about it, but I can really relate to people who go through addictions and something like that, and I would love to talk with them or let them share, because I've just never been so happy that happened, and it's something I did not expect to write or talk about in the book. And then I also replaced coping, really bad coping mechanism with yoga. And I have found myself, and I've not only found my voice, but I am so happy, Joy.
I'm with you on the yoga.
Oh, man.
That's wonderful.
It is.
So that helped you get over this. And actually, while you say you haven't necessarily recovered from the Great Recession, in a way you, I guess, are continuing to reinvent yourself with now you are an author and a speaker, and Kenny's an artist. And so you are, the landscaping business has been sold to your daughters.
Yes, they've you know, taken it over. Yeah. But we're there for their support.
Yeah. We have other callers, so let's go to Ida in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Ida.
Hello?
Hi, Ida. I understand you had a similar story back in the 80s?
Yeah. Well, I'm not Ida. I'm Anita.
I'm sorry. We just misunderstood the name.
Yeah, I grew up on a small farm near Wisconsin Dells and married a wonderful Norwegian bachelor farmer. We struggled on a family farm, and he loved dairy. He had 30 registered dairy cattle, and unfortunately, we had a barn fire, and we lost all of our registered cattle except a few calves, and we didn't lose the farm, but losing those cattle was just heartbreaking for all of us. We had two little boys. They cried, and we survived. It was not easy because my husband tampered those registered cattle. Slowly, we went out of dairy then for several years, but eventually our calves grew up and had babies, and they grew and had more babies, more heifers. And by that time, our sons had gotten to be about 15, and they said, "Oh, Papa, can't we have our dairy cows again?" And slowly, we built our herd back, and our boys then went away to college. And when they graduated from university, they came back home, and their joy was to start our family again in our registered dairy, and that's what we're doing today. Yeah. I guess one of the things that helped us through the hard times were our neighbors. We belonged to the Wisconsin Farmers Union, a farm organization which was truly a family-type organization, and that, too, has helped us and helped us heal the wounds of that. But it wasn't easy. Our income was really down. But we made it, and we are farming still.
I think that's wonderful, Anita. Thank you so much for sharing that story. Wow. Big loss, and now the family's still farming. Friends, neighbors, farmers union, any of that resonate with you, Kenny?
Oh, yes. We friends have just been awesome. Just wonderful. Just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning of the book, I share some of my childhood memories of growing up on a farm. And, the feedback that I've had from that has just been incredible because, like, some people have no idea what it's like to grow up on a family farm. And so that's what connects you with the land. And it also, like, when people read that, it jogs their memory. And they're just like, oh, my gosh, I forget that happened. I used to run on, you know, so-and-so's farm, and we would always do this and that. And so yeah.
Let me bring in another caller,
okay.
June in Madison. Hi, June.
Hi.
Hi. What's your story?
I was listening, and I'm from a family farm as well, that in the 80s, the cows had to be sold, the tillable acres and things like that. And I recognize the depths of loss of that kind of thing. However, I think something important that they've been talking about that is more important is the people, the human beings you have with you in your life. And the sustaining of that is ultimately the most important thing because since then, of course, I've, you know, went on with my life and I met a person and had a great marriage and everything, but he passed away from cancer almost 2 years ago. And now, as Kenny said about, you know, the widow who's left I don't have the person to lean on when times get really hard and you can bounce it off and then survive and keep going. I have to find that within myself. And I have two young children, and I just think that the human element, that is the most important thing, the love you have, and the fact that you had, you know, 30 years after the farm and businesses and success in this or that or the other thing. The ultimately important thing in life, I think, is your relationships with people that you love, because when you lose that, you can't get it back, you can't morph into a new business or do whatever.
Right.
But I think it says something about, you know, not committing suicide when things get low over something, especially something financial or material. The human thing is the love is what really lives on and that you have to keep going with.
Thank you for sharing that. And it was the family love and your love that that helped you through it, right, Sue?
I'd say it sustained us, that and our faith.
Yeah. You know, we're running so short on time, but let me try to get one more caller in. Joe in Menominee, Michigan. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi. You know, a lot of those things that people were saying, I would have to say that it saved me a lot of time here, because I don't have to tell you about the family and the friends and the neighbors and everybody that's important in a beautiful farming community. I watched my family dry up in 1985 in the dairy business. They basically retired. The government came in. They bought all the cows, and the land sat dormant. Me and my wife now live on that property, 120 acres, and of course, my goal was to farm, worked my whole life to get there. In 2008, of course, we went through everything that everybody else went through, but we kind of relied on the USDA for some financing, and because of the interest rate, of course. Everybody's talking about free money, 2%, that kind of stuff. And so we bought, we borrowed the money from the USDA, and they said, okay, well, the blueprints have to be done through us, and we got to get all the equipment. Mm-hmm. So we bought all the equipment with the loan. The blueprints never got done, and it was delayed for many, many months, and then it turned out to be a year.
Joe, I hate to rush your story, but how did it? What's the ending?
Well, the ending is that we lost all of our equipment and everything, and we lost pretty much everything. So we thought.
But I'm sorry about that. And what advice, just a minute or so here, Sue, do you have some advice for others who are struggling with the kinds of loss that you experienced?
Well, pretty much reiterate kind of what Joe just said, that being able to find that person that you can trust to talk to, because I think it's when you bottle it up inside is it will take you down.
Yeah.
You
know?
You're never alone. There's someone out there, whether it's a minister, priest, friend, family, there's someone out there that will help you.
Yes.
Just to listen, if nothing more than listen.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you both here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. Kenny and Sue Massey are a Wisconsin couple. Sue is the author of Letter from the Heart, which is a book describing their journey after losing a family farm in the 1980s. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Caleb Lado for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.